So our text for this morning's meditation is from 1 Timothy. These words, for all then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, summer is once again almost upon us. And with summer vacation, and with vacation perhaps that awkward circumstance of visiting a church we have never been to before, and having a pastor we have never met come right up to us and start talking to us, welcoming us to that church. I mean, how awkward is that? All the other people there in the narthex of that building, they're keeping their distance, maybe glancing up at us, but not saying a word. But the nerve of that guy, that pastor, to come over to us and just start talking to people he doesn't even know. But pastors normally do that, don't they? They normally do that. Now imagine 200 pastors or 300 pastors together in one room with each other. That's what we call a pastor's conference. And it can be, as you might imagine, a very loud place. One conversation after another, after another, after another, as an individual pastor who is tasked with talking in a single congregation finds himself in a room with a couple hundred other such pastors, and so it's off to the races. So this last week at our state pastors' conference in Brainerd, the pastors of almost 500 congregations in Minnesota gathering for that annual event, and strangely, what struck me as I had conversation after conversation after conversation, walking and sitting and eating and riding in a car, what struck me were all the troubles, all the challenges, all the problems facing each and every single one. For as it turns out, most pastors like to share. And if you ask them, how's it going, that's what they're going to tell you. Deaths in the family, health problems, teenager challenges, car troubles, ministry hurdles, the list went on and on and on and on to such an extent that I actually did have the thought at one point that I just couldn't talk to one more pastor, for if I did, I'd simply have to, when I return, pray the entire day, each and every day, for all the pastors, all the situations, all the congregations, all the problems of which I was made aware. Now that might sound awful, but it wasn't. For that gathering of pastors there in Brainerd was no different. It was no different than a gathering of people anywhere. The only distinction, pastors are willing to share at the drop of a hat those things in their lives for which prayer would be of the greatest benefit. They are willing. They are willing. But we usually, in general, are not, even among Christians. Yes, we have a few things that we normally mention in prayer before we go to bed, but the rest of the problems and challenges in our lives, we think we can handle all by ourselves. And as for the other people in our lives and their troubles and their challenges, well, the nice ones, those whom we like, and those who like us, those who are cute, those who are pleasingly talented, those who have helped us in some way in the past, we can pray for them. We can pray for them. But what about our scary neighbor? What about our odd congressperson? Or that gal that hangs out by the stoplight, by the mall with her sign and pile of stuff. She's been up there for months. What was so obvious to me after once again speaking with so many pastors up in Brainerd this week is that we are all, every one of us is in need of prayer. And all those around us, they're in need of prayer too. And the world around us, it's in need of prayer. So the Apostle Paul to the young Timothy, the young pastor in Ephesus, a cosmopolitan city, if there ever was one, boasting one of the seven wonders of the world, that great temple of Diana, to which people from all over the world would come to worship. So the Holy Spirit to the Christian Timothy, that he and the Christians in Ephesus should pray. They should pray. Pray for all people, that is, to make requests for them before God, to intercede before God for them. And even to thank God for them. Why? Why should those Christians in Ephesus pray in that way? So they could live a peaceful life. They could live a peaceful life here on earth. And in that peace, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all, as God truly does desire that all people be saved. But do we do that? Do we do that? Do we pray for others? Do we even pray for ourselves? We pray for ourselves. I mean, that was what the gospel was all about. Jesus encouraging his disciples to talk to our Father in heaven in his name. Why? Our Father in heaven, he wants to hear from us. He wants us to pour out our heart to him with our troubles and our problems and our challenges, just like David does in psalm after psalm after psalm. But what do we do? We hold back, don't we? Our pride perhaps getting in the way, our fear, our reticence to try to speak with God. Who knows what's going to happen if we do? Who knows what's going to happen if we pray? What then is prayer for us? Perhaps it can be like an app we have on our phone, an app that we're too frightened to try, right? You know, you get the new phone and it's got a million apps on it, and you're like, I wonder what these buttons do. And then you try a couple of them, and then you learn not to push the buttons. You just push the ones that you know. Well, what if we think of prayer that way? As an app that we're kind of scared to use. Sure, others have told us how great that prayer app actually is, but we just can't bring ourselves to use it, or we think we don't need it, or we think it's not necessary to live from day to day to day. Well, you're right. Prayer isn't necessary to live, but neither is a car, neither is air conditioning, nor a refrigerator, nor a cherry on the top of the whipped cream of our ice cream sundae. Not necessary. But all of those things are blessings from God, aren't they? In one way or another, bringing us joy. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full, so Jesus taught us. Or in today's parlance, you know, that prayer app really is a wonderful thing. It's as wonderful as people say it is. You know, one of the reasons God sent his son, Jesus, to us is so that we could once again have God's favor, and having God's favor, we could talk to God. Talk to God, our Heavenly Father, whenever we want, whatever we want to say to him. Without Christ, we couldn't do that. Without our Savior, we could not do that without Christ. And without Christ, any prayer that we might attempt would just be our crying in the dark, heard by no one. With Christ, however, our prayer, is heard immediately by our Father in heaven, and he considers our words, he considers our requests, he considers our supplications and intercessions. Why? Why does he think about what we say? Well, through faith in his son, Jesus, we ourselves have become sons and daughters of God. Through faith in his son, God has credited us with his son's holiness and his righteousness. So even though we're not perfect and holy like his only begotten son, Jesus, God treats us as if we actually were. God raised his son from the dead. What did he do? But declare to the world that the sin of mankind he had overcome as a barrier, as a wall, a border between ourselves and God. And the death of mankind, the result of sin, it's just a matter. It's just a matter of shedding a sin-infested, a sin-infected, a sin-decimated body so that we no longer need to be hampered by them in our thoughts and words and actions. The resurrection of the Son of God from the dead demonstrated to the world that all who believe in Jesus as their Savior from death and sin are indeed saved from death and sin, their sins forgiven, and the Holy Spirit given. The Holy Spirit who does what? He urges us daily and encourages us to pray, that is, to talk to our Father in heaven. Yes, it is Mother's Day. And on Mother's Day, we justly laud and magnify the work of our mothers. That is specifically the work of raising and nurturing children. We've all had mothers, and while every mom is different and every family is different, there is that situation usually that arises in which a child comes to his or her mother. They come to their mother with a request, a petition, a question of some sort. And she, hearing that request, that petition, that question, she thinks about it for a while, and then she says, "I think you better ask your father." Well, to me, as a child, that always presented a conundrum, because when I went to ask my mother something, it was because I'd already thought about asking Dad about it. And I had come to the conclusion in my mind that it was safer to ask Mom. It was easier. And well, Mom would maybe take my side with Dad. Now, I don't think my experience there as a child was unique. And I don't think that it doesn't present to us the situation we face even now when it comes to approaching our Father in heaven in prayer. Are we intimidated to do so? Would it be nice to have a mother to pray to instead? I mean, there is an appeal there, isn't there? But why? Why is that appealing? Because we haven't grasped fully in faith through Jesus Christ our Savior, through faith in his suffering and death and resurrection, that we now have full access, complete access to our loving Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, who wants us to talk to him, to bring to him our trouble. Indeed, when we don't pray, when we fail to pray, when we're fearful to pray, what are we doing but breaking the second commandment? Ever thought about that? Shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, or thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? Now, what does the second commandment have to do with prayer? What does it have to do with prayer? I mean, we usually don't think that it does. Well, do you remember the meaning, the first part? First part. Fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name. Now, we remember that about the first commandment, that we should watch our language, we should stay away from palm readers, and we shouldn't lie under oath. But what about the remainder of the meaning to the second commandment? But call upon it. That's how it continues that meaning, but call upon it. That is the name of the Lord our God, our Father in heaven. Call upon it in every trouble. Pray. Praise. And give thanks. So what is God's name for us? Why? What it is given to us, but why was it given to us so that we could address our Father in prayer? I mean, how silly would it be if we found ourselves in trouble and we started texting furiously for help on our phone, but we didn't know the number of the person we were texting, of the person who could help us? Well, God, our loving Heavenly Father, we know, don't we? He's been revealed to us by the Son, Jesus Christ, and he wants to hear from us daily, hourly in prayer, for not only are we like our Savior, Jesus, our brother, not only are we to pray for ourselves, but we're to pray for all those around us. Now, one last thought about all those conversations I had this week, all of the troubles and challenges about which I heard. It occurred to me that what I was told by all those pastors was just scratching the surface of each individual's need for prayer. In fact, if I knew them all, I simply would have been overwhelmed. I would have not been able to function. The amount of pain and suffering and worry would have been just simply too much. But for that about which I do know now, I can do that which the Holy Spirit would have me do, would have you do, would have us all do, and that is to pray. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.